Our second reading is Nehemiah chapter 10. Please turn with me in your Bibles there. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now those that were sealed were Nehemiah the Tirshatha, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah, Seraiah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malchijah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluch, Harim, Meremoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshullam, Abijah, Minyamin, Maaziah, Bilgai, Shemaiah. These were the priests. And the Levites, both Jeshua, the son of Azaniah, Binui, the sons of Henadad, Kadmiel, and their brethren, Shebaniah, Hodijah, Kelita, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodijah, Bani, Beninu, the chief of the people, Parosh, Pahat Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Azgad, Bebai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Adin, Ater, Hizkijah, Azur, Hodijah, Hashum, Bezai, Harif, Anathoth, Nebai, Magpiash, Meshulam, Hazir, Meshezabel, Zadok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Ananiah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashub, Halohesh, Peleha, Shobek, Rehum, Hashabna, Maaseah, and Ahijah, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, Mba'ana. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his judgments and his statutes. And that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. And that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, and for the holy things, and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings, and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine, of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers, where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So the first part of this, with all of those names mentioned, is, well, let me maybe relate it a little bit to our day by saying it's kind of like the Declaration of Independence in this way, that there is a declaration that is made, and then there are signatures that are attached to it at the bottom where all of these men say, we support what is written above. It is similar to that. They certified themselves at the end of the last chapter, and we hear what that certification actually is in this chapter. What did they do? Well, they brought themselves under an oath. They brought themselves under a curse. That's what an oath is, isn't it? When we promise to perform something and we swear that out by an oath before God, we are calling upon God to preserve, support, and give us strength to do something that is of sufficient weight and moment to enter into an oath about. And when we break that thing, we are also calling upon God to call us to account and to bring us back to that commitment. So when we enter into an oath, we also enter into a curse. It cannot be one and not the other. When we take, for instance, the vows of our church membership, we call upon the Lord and confess before witnesses to do what? To perform those duties that belong to someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we call upon the Lord to preserve us and to strengthen us and to give us the wherewithal and the knowledge and all that we need to perform those vows. And we also confess at the same time that if we will not do that, that we will come under proper discipline by the Lord, that he might preserve us and bring us back into alignment with that vow that we've made. That's why vows ought never to be entered into lightly. Well, this is not a light thing that they're doing here. They are vowing before God not to forsake his house and to provide everything that it needs. There is a civil authority that makes that oath, Nehemiah, the Tirshatha. And then we have, as we've read, the names of the priests and the Levites. And we'll hear later on about the nobles and how they also entered into that same kind of curse, that same kind of oath and covenant to preserve the house of the Lord, to advance his worship, and to provide for it. Now, you look around here today in this place of worship, and you see that that there are certain things that need support. You have to keep the lights on, right? You have to pay a minister. We have other things that we do with regard to the ministry, the computer and the recording, provide bread and wine for the Lord's Supper, right? All of those things, they do have to be paid for. The Lord has not written the script in this day in such a way that these things are simply found on our front porch when we come here on the Lord's Day, because he will cause them to rain down from heaven like he did during the wilderness wandering. These things will be provided for us through the gifts and sacrificial giving of God's people through their tithes. This is what they're entering into an oath to do. But the first thing that they do before that is something that they had recently been convicted of by Nehemiah and in the same day by Ezra, as we've read already. And what was that? That they had not kept themselves separate from the people of the land. They had intermarried with them. They had, in some cases, children that could not speak Hebrew any longer, that could not read the Bible or could not hear it read in their own language when it was read. And believe me, today we have a plethora of English Bibles all over the place. They didn't have that in that day. They had a Hebrew Bible at the temple and it was read by the priests in the hearing of the people. And if you could not understand the ancient language, you could not understand the scripture, and you were indeed in that way separated from the Lord. Well, they had separated themselves from the Lord by joining themselves to the people of the land. And beloved, this is a perennial problem for the people of God, isn't it? To remain separate from the world. Pure religion and undefiled is this, says James, to visit the widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It's a perennial problem for us. As Wordsworth said, who was no Christian, still wise enough to say, the world is too much with us. Well, it is all around us, and the apostle will tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I told you not to fellowship with certain people. Well, not the people, I wasn't talking about the people of the world, because if you're going to not associate with sinners, you're going to have to go out of the world. Paul says you're not required to go out of the world, but you are required to live separate from the world, even in your interactions. Well, this calls upon us, doesn't it, to pray that our interactions in this world with unbelievers would always be according to Scripture, that what the Lord said through the hand of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 4 might be true of us as well, that the nations will see these great laws and statutes which I command thee this day, and they will say of you, surely there is no people like that people who have all these standards and just laws that they adhere to, and a God that they can call upon as our God. This is how we're called to live in this world, to cause the nations to stand up and take notice, to live separated lives from them, rather than to be so conformed that the world feels no pressure, sees no difference, and has no threat from us. No, beloved, rather than living in communion with this world and entering into, quote, common cause, as if there could be such a thing, let us live as those who are separated. Notice that there are some very practical things that are given here in this chapter about that separation. One of the greatest gifts that God has given to us, the people of God, for maintaining a separated existence from the world, you know the next words coming out of my mouth, is the Sabbath day. Keeping the Sabbath day holy unto God is a thing that separates a people from the society and culture around them, like many other things, or beyond many other things. And so they are told here to keep the Sabbath. In chapter 13, we're going to hear what a godly civil magistrate ought to do with regard to the Sabbath day. Not so much here, but there's wonderful private instruction that's given. Notice what it says. And if the people of the land, that is, that don't share our Sabbath commitments, if they bring any ware or victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we will not buy it of them on the Sabbath day. We're not going to buy their stuff on the Sabbath. We're going to remain separate. And that we would not buy them on the Sabbath day or on the holy day, and that we should leave the seventh year in the year of the exaction of every debt. They're going to do that secondary kind of Sabbath, that positive Sabbath of the Old Testament. What is that? The exaction of debts after every 7 years. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. So then also they will not forsake not only the Sabbath day, but what ought to go on the Sabbath day, the worship of God. They were committed to it in such a way that the world knew, you know what, these people are different from us. They don't buy from us on the Sabbath day. They go worship their God on the Sabbath. They keep that day holy unto him. But we like to do business with them. Why? Because they're honest and they're upright. They have these just laws. It's always a win-win with them. They want us to profit even as we sell. What kind of a people is that? Well, it was the kind of a people that Nehemiah, the Tirshatha, and the priesthood were endeavoring to lead in that day. And it's the kind of people that we should be today, beloved. Separated from the world and separated unto our God. So then, I'm almost out of time here. 32 through the end of the chapter has to do with how they will fill up what the Lord's house needs for its proper operation. The tithe of their goods, the tithe of their money, the tithe of their produce. Then there were also who was going to bring the wood? Who's going to go up into the forest and cut down wood so we have wood for God's altar? Have you ever thought to that level of detail of the Old Testament work and how it had to be provided for? We even need wood for the altar. It grows on trees, but not here in the temple. Right? Also, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, we're going to give them to the Lord. Now, we know there was no human sacrifice going on. Those firstborn sons were bought out with an offering, weren't they? The Lord has never required that kind of grotesque worship. Rather, he said, those sons belong to me, so you will purchase them from me with an offering. You will redeem them. That's what the Lord said. And so that's being maintained here. And as a part of that redemption, then, there is also, as a part of those offerings and as a part of everything that is necessary to continue the work in the house of God, there are chambers built within the temple for the storage of those goods so that all of that might be maintained. And so when the people of God separate themselves from the world and when they come to worship God on the Sabbath day and spend the day with Him, there will be no lack to anything that they need, so that they have not separated themselves from the world in vain, only to be sent away empty. No, beloved. This is a wonderful day. They have reformed the true religion. They have brought it back to its biblical alignment. They have read in the scriptures what they ought to be doing, and they're putting it all into place. And they have bound themselves under an oath and a curse to do so, because it is of sufficient weight and moment, this matter of their eternal souls. So, beloved, shall we follow their example and have that same kind of dedication to the Lord and to His work, away from the world, separated unto Him on the Sabbath day, giving our children to Him, presenting them before the Lord, with great care in our prayers and in our nurture and instruction of them? Will we have church officers in this day that endeavor to do all things according to the pattern revealed in the Mount? Or will we look over the fence at the world and say, oh, wow, they do that thing. It's pretty profitable. Let's try that and see if it works. No, beloved, we shall not. We shall follow the example here of the saints and their reformation, and we shall pray that the Lord would grant that same kind of reformation in our day. With that, then, let's